Hello, welcome to another Cheap Shot Wrestling podcast. I'm Matt Bass. I'm here with Ben Bowles.
Yeah.
It's another weird noise from him. And this is episode number 24.
24.
Of the Cheap Shot Wrestling podcast.
We've made it. We're nearly as old as us.
Yeah. Got a few little bits of, things to get out of the way first. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at CSWpod. And now you can also follow us on Instagram.
I was going to say,
because
yeah.
Because we are cool mod millennials and we're on Instagram.
Get it in there. Isn't it at CSWpod as well?
Yeah, it's at CSWpod as well.
Ooh,
just to keep
like
it all simple all the way through.
We're so the same on everything.
CSWpod on Twitter and Instagram now. So
that's
give
good.
Us a follow. We're going to put up some stuff on there and maybe we'll put up a picture of our faces after.
It'll be our faces. Hopefully there'll be things like little snippets from the show or like a highlight or something.
Because I've noticed that our faces aren't on a lot of stuff we do.
It used to
There's
be.
Like some silhouette pictures of us.
Yeah,
actually,
I was gonna say,
our
yeah.
faces aren't on anything that we do. So maybe we'll get our faces so you can see what we actually look like and
then
be horrified and never listen to us again.
I have so many, there's so many old logos that we never used that have a lot more of us in it.
Yeah, yeah.
That I just went, no. I don't like looking at myself in the logo.
No, the
or you.
We have the beer label style logo that we
yeah.
have, which I think is really cool.
Which took way too long, and I wanted to replace it one time, and you told me not to, and then I've now realised that, yeah, we need to keep it.
Yeah.
Because it took forever.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. Last night, when we were recording this, was Extreme Rules. Raw is tonight, SmackDown's tomorrow night, so, I mean, there are stuff we might say in this, which... you know, after Raw or SmackDown might be either irrelevant or completely wrong.
We've done that disclaimer before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it does happen sometimes.
It does happen. But, you know, we're going to talk about the Extreme Rules. We're going to talk about some of the other things just around that stuff. We can talk about Brock Lesnar at some point in this episode.
We do every week. It's going to be negative. So, yes,
we do
absolutely
talk about
we're
Brock
talk about
every
Brock.
Week. Yeah. And also just kind of like maybe some... very early predictions for what we think will happen at SummerSlam. And also, I mean, I think I'll start off with this because I don't think we'll talk about this for very long.
Okay.
The Mae Young Classic is coming back.
Yeah.
I'm
really
not sure
excited
when it's coming
that.
Back. I think at some point this summer.
It's probably going to be
August.
No,
something
wait.
Like that, maybe.
SummerSlam's August. Well, I'll have to find it out, but I'm excited for it to come up because they've announced the first person to
they
be
have,
in it.
And it is the return of Caitlyn.
So
which
cool.
I'm very happy with.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Caitlyn has left and just, lived a normal life just doing non-wrestling things and now it's decided, hey, I'm going to get back into wrestling. Like, she left WWE, set up her own company doing, like... sports athletic wear and stuff like
think,
kind of
yeah,
like
and then,
it's selling like yoga pants and stuff like that, you know, but she made this whole business where she was doing that and she was keeping herself getting bigger, like physically bigger.
She was getting huge
and she's like hench as hell now.
She was like, I remember her
being
her
hair
when
is
she...
better now, because you remember before she had the kind of like, it was blonde hair but like really thick brown roots and just looked really weird. She just had an odd look back then, but she looks a lot more normal now.
She's grown up, I think, as a wrestler.
Yes,
so or as a person
she's
so
matured.
She joined, obviously, didn't she join in the Diva Search?
No, she was in NXT. She was in the all women NXT
early.
I think
NXT.
She came, she was either first or second.
But she was in
with
that
with AJ
like,
Lee.
She was in that bad version of NXT that existed.
Yeah.
Before it did now.
It's bad. But if you want to have some entertainment, go watch them when CM Punk was on commentary for them, because it was hilarious.
Oh, the commentary that CM Punk did for
like,
that and then main event.
Yeah, there's compilations and stuff on YouTube. Give that a watch. But Caitlyn, back to the point.
Yes.
Former Divas champion, coming back for Mae Young Classic. Hopefully she's back full time.
Well, it's someone I didn't expect to see as a name pop up for this.
I think she'd be quite good on NXT.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a bit weird, but I think, because obviously she's a former women's champion, but it's not uncommon for some people who maybe didn't have or wouldn't be able to fit in on the main roster who have come back and gone to NXT, like Drew McIntyre. Like, he came back in, he could have gone straight back to the main roster, but he went to NXT and made... you know, took his big popularity from the indie circuit and took it to NXT and helped NXT and now is on the main roster.
True. And he really helped us make that, because obviously they brought in the new championships the way they looked.
Yeah.
Him being champion was totally credible. Like, it was really, really, it was good for that championship and good for the brand. So
yeah,
to have Caitlyn back in NXT and she can even use the I've never had that championship before.
Yeah.
So why not?
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad that she's popped up. I didn't think she'd be a name that'd be coming back to wrestling.
Yeah.
I thought she was pretty happy outside of it. Like you said,
yeah, I
she
did,
had a business.
I didn't think she was necessarily interested in coming back, but she apparently is. So that's good to see. And I mean, if she's going to be in this, I'd almost guarantee she'll make an appearance in the Royal Rumble.
Probably.
In January.
Also, she's my favourite to win it because she's the only person that's been announced.
Yeah, because so she's the only person announced
so
far.
She's my favourite to win it. She's going to win it.
I think, like the UK tournament, there probably will be some women from last year's Mae Young Classic. Last year's Mae Young Classic. There'll be some people. I think maybe some people like Piper Niven, people like that might be in
people that maybe didn't make such a big name for themselves the previous year.
Yeah.
So people that weren't people like Kairi Sane and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they'll pop back in, and it's a little shame though, because it's little things like Joseph Connors making a return this year and then not
like
doing
Joseph.
Anything again.
Yeah, it's like Connors. Yeah, it's like
so. I mean, but it was good that he was in it again.
I don't think Caitlin will win it.
No,
because I just think
realistically no.
Yeah, because she doesn't need it for a start. She doesn't need a win it. But there are other people who probably could, but obviously we don't know who they are yet, so we don't know. But it'd be interesting to see, because I really enjoyed it last year.
She's technically already done her job for this tournament, which is basically be the first announcement, so it gets people going and talking about it.
There's also rumors about a potential all women pay-per-view.
Oh,
there's been. I mean, I know that for several years, people have talked about like maybe there could be an all women's pay-per-view. But in the previous years, people have said, well, the roster isn't thick enough for that.
There's speculation as well that loads of people, a few members of the roster, have been pitching it. And then it's now got legs.
And it probably will be a thing where it's like Raw women, SmackDown women, NXT women all together, plus some Mae Young Classic women.
You got enough people. You got enough people to make a pay-per-view.
I mean, think about it. They need, what, nine matches?
Nine matches to fill a card.
Yeah.
You could even push it to a number like 10 or even 13. Like
lot
of matches.
They could do slightly less than nine and actually have just longer matches and bigger matches or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, they have three women's championships.
Mm.
Raw, SmackDown, NXT, right? So then you have that. If they were then to add into that a tag team title.
Yeah.
Say they were going to bring in a tag team title, or I don't know whether they would do that on NXT first and just see how it goes.
Potentially NXT.
They might do an NXT Women's Tag Team Championship or something. Because the only problem is with the bringing it onto Raw and SmackDown is that you would have to make one for Raw and one for SmackDown.
There's already a lot
of titles. You're adding two more belts into main roster pay-per-views, and they already have a thing where they go, well, we can't fit them all in the same show, so we're going to have to drop some.
And then
tag team titles that have already been dropped from pay-per-views.
Well, that's it. Then it ends up being a championship that's on the pre-show.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, at least I'm seeing it on TV. That's fine.
Mm.
Like, okay, people might be shuffling in the background and bringing drinks through, but at least I'm seeing it broadcast. And then it's, okay, I haven't seen it on TV in a while. Like,
yeah,
it hasn't been on TV in like a month.
Mm. But there's that, and then there's also the idea that the other rumor was there was going to be a cruiserweight tag team title.
Yeah, even a design supposedly leaked.
Well, yeah, but I always think with that, because I saw some of the early leaked designs of the WWE Championship before it became what it is now.
Yeah, no, they looked,
and it was just horrendous, or they were weird, just like someone had just drawn it and gone, that's it.
There's one you can see where it almost looks like the belt part is made of feathers.
Yeah,
and it's like an eagle's wings.
Yeah,
and then there's a championship in the middle. And I thought, if that was a genuine concept that came over my desk, like, oh yeah, like we're considering this design, you'd tear that up.
WWE did put out like a photo gallery on their website of early design drawings for various different designs for the new WWE Championship, and one of them was a big WWE logo, but then it was like it was just there. And it was connected to the belt by like what appeared to be chains.
Yeah.
And it looks horrendous.
That
looks bad. And it makes you look at the current WWE Championship and go, oh, that was good. Oh, yeah, that's good, that one.
But that's clearly where they got the idea for the main plate from as well.
Yeah.
Like, they clearly went, okay, we're definitely going with a big WWE
just
logo.
One giant logo.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we're getting away from the point a little bit here.
The women's only pay-per-view. The
women's only pay-per-view would be interesting.
Which I would argue
would be quite good.
Is the Mae Young Classic.
Well, yeah, people said, are they just talking about the Mae Young Classic? Surely this is just the rumour of that.
But I reckon it would be much better. It'd be good as well if they added a pay-per-view that was just a pay-per-view. So not a tournament, nothing special about it. It's just a solid, good card pay-per-view that is solely just for women's matches.
And I think it's also a kind of in response a little bit to the Saudi Arabia show.
Yeah.
Because people were the so backlash pissed off about that. You know, and understandably. I mean, the fact that they couldn't even have Renee Young do announcing.
And then like, it was, she's not, wasn't it?
She the pre-show was, was hosted by Byron Saxton and had JR and King and Booker T or something. It was awful.
And then it went to sort of public knowledge that, or became aware. What was the word I'm thinking of?
I don't know what you're
essentially
talking about.
It came to light. That's what I'm thinking of. It came to light that Carmella was shown on the big screen for 2 seconds. And then the Saudi government had to apologise.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you talking about?
WWE had to apologise for it being shown. And you're like, no, you shouldn't apologise for a woman being involved in a video that you produce for every one of your shows.
It was the biggest step backwards.
It was. They were trying to say it was like, oh, how progressive it is that women are allowed to watch it. You go, yeah, but WWE have an extensive roster of women in both on screen and off screen involved in the production of the show.
Yeah.
And they're not even allowed to be there.
They're not allowed to do their jobs.
Not allowed to do their jobs.
But so that WWE apparently can make a decent pay.
Apparently they did all get paid for that, though.
Yeah, they did.
All the women got paid the same as what they would have if they'd been on the show.
They were all paid like a competing
day's
salary
or whatever it is.
Whatever
the equivalent
it is,
of what they would have got paid. If
match bonus,
there.
I guess.
Yeah, a match bonus or something, yeah. So, but anyway, we're getting away from the conversation. We always do this. We veer away from the original thing.
Yeah.
So, Caitlin, great in the way Young Classic. Let's
good
move
idea.
On.
Really glad that she's been announced. It's got people talking about the tournament. It's always a good tournament, too.
Absolutely. And now let's talk about Extreme Rules.
Yes.
Extreme Rules was okay. I think there was definitely some very good parts. There was definitely some bits where I was like, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. And so I've watched highlights of basically all the big things that happened during that event, all the important things. I didn't sit through and watch the whole thing.
You weren't able to watch that.
I didn't stay up
ridiculously late.
I couldn't stay up light. I couldn't stay up
one
and watch
of us
it live. I mean.
One of us needs to watch it live, and that's normally me. So
I couldn't stay up and watch it live, and then I thought,
well,
I'm going to sit down and
some,
watch it.
We've been through some key parts of it. So
yeah, and I've seen big moments that happened during it, and it was okay.
Yeah,
it was okay.
I mean, the thing is, when you look at the results of it, and you go, yeah, some all right results. We'll start off with new title changes. We'll go with the two new title changes from this first. So the Raw Tag Team Championships went to the B team, the best team.
I like that. I love that name. It was. I get it. I totally understand the title change. I mean, it's weird that in the same night, I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but it's in the same night, both Hardys lose their championship.
I didn't really think about it like that.
I thought, okay, it's me overthinking it. Maybe there's something going on. Yeah. But I think maybe it's just coincidence.
Maybe. But I think, do you think that do you think Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt will stay together as a team?
This is what I thought. I think maybe this is going to trigger a split again.
Or does Bray Wyatt need some time off?
From his car accident.
Yeah.
And
he said, I can work a match, but I kind of need I need like a month off.
He didn't do a huge amount in that match either.
He didn't.
No. He very much...
And it was Matt who took the pinfall.
Yeah. Matt was part of the finish. And it was kind of...
You sort
was,
of wonder, is this them just going to go, right, Bray's going to have a bit of time off and he's going to come back on his own. And we're going to go back to the Woken Warrior and all that.
With the universe they've set up there between the two of them, and Matt Hardy especially... They can very easily just sell it as like, oh, Bray Wyatt's been swallowed by the abyss or something. So he won't be back on TV for a few weeks. And then all of a sudden there he is. He'll just emerge out of that lake.
He'll appear on SummerSlam.
Yeah.
To interrupt something.
But he definitely, I think you're right, he does need time off from that car accident.
Maybe he does.
It was pretty bad, apparently.
Yeah, and the fact that he was even able to get in the ring and wrestle, but it's like, it makes you think that maybe it's like, he has to now have some surgery that he could put off for a couple of weeks.
It's like, maybe
and he went,
like a, maybe
I can
like
go
a,
back and do this, we can lose the titles,
yeah,
and then I can just go away
it's
for
like,
a while.
It's like a bone fracture in his leg or something.
I don't know, yeah.
It will just be a quick surgery just to repair it, remove it.
Yeah.
But obviously he can do like an 8-minute match.
Yeah, and where he's stood on the side of the
he's
ring for most of it,
for
and
about
then
five
he just
minutes.
Gets thrown out of the ring.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. But
so they've lost.
So they lost the titles. The B team's reaction to winning was funny. And the fact that later on in the show, they're backstage celebrating as Roman Reigns is walking in the zone, walking down the thing, like, ooh, Roman Reigns. Mm. And then they come up behind him and they're like, hey, well done, we won the titles. This is great, we're going to party. And he's like, you should win. You can win too. You just have to know you can win. And when you win, maybe you could be part of the B team too. And we can all celebrate together when you beat Bobby. Yeah, go out there. And he's like, no. Walks off. And it's like, fair enough, mate. But the B team were great. And then they were great on the post show as well. They appeared on the post show at the end of that.
Mm.
It was Renee Young and Sam Roberts.
Yep.
And they were doing their post show. And the end of that was the B team. They just came around. They were just yelling how they, you know, in the same reaction, just like elation. And then climbing up onto the top of the desk and then sliding down in the front of the desk. You know, it's got like
a slight glass
incline that goes down. They just Bo got on that and it was sliding down and then climbed back up onto it, and it was just celebrating standing on the table. It was very funny.
It's Bo Dallas. I made this point earlier. I'm saying it now and thinking maybe I'm wrong, but it's Bo Dallas's first main roster championship. Because the last
it time is he, no, it is because it's like he won the NXT championship, and then since he came up, he did the Bo Leaf stuff, and then he was part of just doing nothing.
So I don't know how long that is exactly, but that is a very long time between championships.
Although I'm sure IRS is very happy. Regardless well, of
one
who
son loses a title.
Do you know the thing about this match, well, this storyline, is that it's I'd never really looked at it like it. I think it's because Bo has a beard now.
Yeah.
I'd never really noticed how much Bo and Bray look alike.
Once he's grown the beard. And the thing is, if you look at...
it's when he dressed up as Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
That you go, oh my God, it's the eyes. They're like the same like look in their face.
They've got the same face, slightly different features. And you go, yeah, they're 100% brothers. They're 100% brothers.
And have you seen their sister as well?
She looks
like Bo. She just has that. She's like a female Bo. It's like, you know, when people take Photoshop and just go on Photoshop and take someone's face and
plop
put it on other people's faces, you know, like that. They've done that, but
they're
it's real
incredibly
life.
Related.
It's weird. But anyway, so I thought it was a good thing. The other title change was the United States Championship, which controversial.
Well, yeah, because it was just it's.
So we'll set the scene. Shinsuke Nakamura
it's
comes out.
It's not much
out.
Of a scene.
No,
that's
Shinsuke Nakamura comes out. Jeff Hardy's come out, right? They're both out there. Shinsuke Nakamura does his patented kick to the bollocks.
He gave him a ding-ding.
Gave him a ding-ding.
Knocked him in the ding-ding.
Yeah.
Kicked him in the snake.
This was before the match had started. So then the referee's like, hey, Jeff, do you think you can wrestle? And he's like, yeah, I can still wrestle because I'm a brave babyface and I can wrestle. And he stands up, rings the bell. Kinshasa, pin, 1, 2, 3, 6 seconds, and he wins the match. Then Randy Orton comes out, big cheer, return for Randy Orton. Nice to see Randy Orton back. I had forgotten about Randy Orton.
Randy Orton has more hair.
Yeah, he has grown his hair further than he had before.
He's still going with the hair.
It was a very good hair transplant. And then, he comes out, everyone cheers, it's great to see Randy Orton back, and then he goes up to Jeff, grabs both of his legs and does the biggest, like, just dick stamp, let's say. Stamps his crotch.
Well, imagine being told before a pay-per-view, as a champion, you're being told, right, you're going to be kicked in the nuts twice.
And you're going to lose in 6 seconds.
You're going to lose in 6 seconds. Shinsuke's going to kick you in the dick. Mm. And then Randy's going to come down, steal the spotlight, and then also kick you in the dick, but harder this time.
Yeah.
You've already lost the title at this point. We're just going to kick you in the dick further.
It was a really bad kick as well, the second one. It's wrestling. He may have been wearing a cup. Yeah, you can wear a cup, but it's still going to bloody hurt.
You can feel yourself clench.
Yeah, you just... Oh. Every man watches that and goes, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Because it's also the reaction of Jeff. He just, like, yells out when he gets stamped. You know, like, oh.
Like, he probably caught something. Like, it wasn't much. It was probably... It was obviously meant to be a worked kick, but... Probably caught him pretty badly.
But either way, I thought that they could have been a bit nice to Jeff with that one.
It really felt like a kick in the
dick. But this, I think this match sums up how I felt about the pay-per-view more broadly, which is that it was very rushed. It felt like they were going, well, we know that the 30-minute Iron Man match is only the end, so we need to make sure we don't overrun, so we're going to make sure we keep these matches to under 10 minutes for the most part.
And they were very much very under 10 minutes. Most
of them were like 7 or 8 minutes.
They average out about 8 minutes each.
Yeah. The women's championship was 5 minutes.
5 minutes 25.
Yeah.
So quick.
The only match that was over 10 minutes was Roman Reigns versus Lashley.
Oh, and there was the...
Probably because it was originally supposed to be the main event, but anyway.
And the Braun-Kevin steel cage match.
Yeah.
15 minutes as well. But again, still... Oh, no, wait. Yeah, yeah. They're just both very short matches for a pay-per-view.
Relatively short matches. Mm. So it all felt a little bit rushed, but yeah, I think the Shinsuke thing, they could have given Jeff a bit longer than 6 seconds, but... Oh, well. It's nice to see Shinsuke with a belt. Do you know what I mean? It's actually nice to see him with some gold, because actually he hasn't won anything since he's been in WWE.
He's only won the NXT title.
Yeah.
And then he's quite good as a heel champion.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I think it sells, and it's given the US title to someone who can really make something of that belt.
Do
now.
Something with it. And to be honest, it does feel important. The fact that you've got Randy Orton involved in this stuff as well.
It's clear now they've put Randy Orton in the US title picture.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there. I just mentioned the women's championship match, so I'll mention that now. The Shark Cage match, ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, my opinion is it should be an ODQ match. So because you've got a guy in a bloody cage, so surely if he gets out of the cage, that would be the point, wouldn't it? That he's got to try and get out of that cage to help his partner. And if he gets involved and helps his partner, and then it's a DQ, it's like, well, what was the point in that match? Theoretically, if we're going to take, you know, believe this is kayfabe, right? We're going to believe kayfabe's real. James Ellsworth gets himself out of that shark cage. He unlocks it. Let's say he doesn't get his foot caught on the cage and doesn't dangle there. Mm. And he gets out and he goes up to Asuka and punches her in the face, right? And the referee sees this and then he causes a disqualification. Mm. What is the point in the shark cage thing? Shark cage is a cage. It's some sort of a cage. If there's a cage involved in a match, I'd say it should be no DQ.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you just then go, well, why would he even be in the cage? Why would he be
just lock him in a cupboard out back? Why just, are you bothering to put him in the cage?
Just ban him from ringside. Just ban him from ringside. If a disqualification can happen when a man is hung above the cage, above the ring in a cage, and then the thing is, you could then be like, well, I could be DQ'd for holding a submission too long, even though there's a man in a cage.
Yeah.
There. No, if I hold a crossface for too long, I can still be disqualified.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one.
I just thought shark cage matches were naturally no DQ.
I thought they were no DQ. I put it on Twitter saying, like, just as a question, does anyone know if this match is DQ? Because it seems like it should be. But they've been saying in the commentary that, oh, she doesn't want to do that and get disqualified. And I'm like, this is weird.
It seems like a waste.
But it seemed like the whole point of it being no DQ was just so they could set up that end where... Asuka gets pushed face first into the side of the cage, and then it's like, and I don't know.
And then that's still seen as a heel move because she can be disqualified.
I like Carmella. I like her as a champion. I think she's got great character, and she's really sort of living the character, which I think works.
She's holding her own.
It doesn't feel fake. I get the impression she's sort of like that in real life anyway. Do you know what I mean? A little bit like
that. It's a turned up version of yourself.
Yeah. It feels like it's a little bit like, and especially the style and the fashion and all the rest of it, like everything that goes with the Carmella character, I think, to a certain extent, is her.
Is her, yeah. It's extensions of her. I'm just going to take the keys out of my pocket.
I think that's brilliant. Great for the sound on that one. Ellsworth, obviously, it is a character, and it's very obvious, this whole thing.
Yes,
it's a character. But I think it's funny. He's living his character as well within the realms of WWE, right?
And look, he's proved to everyone that how has he had two separate WWE contracts?
I don't know, but
he's come back again.
What I would say is I like her. I like Ellsworth with her.
Mm.
I don't really like the whole him being like delusional about his own attractiveness. I think it's just odd. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't need to be said. It's
and
one
it
of those
all th- feels a little bit cringy, like, because they're trying to do the battle of the sexes stuff. All felt a little bit like, ugh, well, really, we're doing this in 2018? Okay.
And he's doing the whole, obviously, like you said, he's like sort of bewildered by his own attractiveness and things like this.
Yeah.
And it's like, but they're doing, it's those sorts of things that you go, someone who works within WWE thinks that's really funny.
Yeah, essentially, someone thinks
that's resonating with the audience.
Someone out back thinks that a guy being really sexist to people is funny. Like, you know that there's someone on that level is thinking that's funny.
Because I'm not going to say it's Vince, because I'm sure Vince doesn't give a crap about this storyline at all.
It'll be someone in creative who thinks this, but I get this impression that there aren't many women in creative. Mm-mm. Like, when I think when I think WWE creative, I could be wrong. There could be 50-50 of men and women.
True.
I don't know this, but my mental image of what a WWE creative meeting looks like is just fat men just sat around a table with Stephanie at the head of the table going, come on guys, what have you got? Well, we've got this thing where James Ellsworth's gonna go around calling himself, saying he's really sexy and every woman wants him, and he's gonna be really misogynistic, it's gonna be hilarious. And Stephanie's gone,
she just holds up a giant placard that just says it's 2018.
She's like, how am I supposed to sell this when I'm also doing adverts about women empowerment?
Yeah.
You'll make it work. It's fine.
It's fine. We'll do
it. We ran it by Vince. He said it was okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
He laughed and chuckled a little bit. I'm sure he was paying attention to when I said it to him.
Anyway, so that was the Shark Cage match. I don't think much more needs to be said about it. It wasn't very good. And I think Asuka.
Oh.
What do you think, Asuka? What do you think with the SmackDown Women's Championship going to SummerSlam? Like, who do you think's going to go up against Carmella? Because do you think Charlotte's going to return? Because Charlotte's been off for a while. No,
I don't think she
Rick
can
was,
return yet.
Rick was ill again. I think Rick was in hospital again.
Successful surgery.
He had surgery that went well.
Obviously, recovery periods for that sort of thing at his age is going to take. It's going to be a long journey. I don't think she'll return. I don't think she can yet. I'm not sure if she's going to be able to make SummerSlam.
I don't know. What is she injured or something? Has she got an injury, or is she just because we haven't really seen her since she lost the title?
I think she's injured, but then she also made. There's really weird things that surfaced to her recently where she did like a nude photo shoot. In her ring gear.
There was a thing where she was on the top rope of a ring or something.
And she's in a ring doing the sort of the bridge that she does for the figure eight. And I thought, have WWE allowed this?
I don't know. But anyway,
odd. But yeah, no, anyway, that was beside the point. It was just something I noticed recently.
But do you think Charlotte would return for this? Do you think Carmella would go up against Asuka again at SummerSlam?
If Charlotte's not healthy, I reckon they'll rehash the Asuka-Carmella thing.
Probably. And because Asuka's been screwed again.
What I really want is Asuka to basically go, I want a rematch, but this time we're banning all shark cages from ringside.
I think it'll end up being she'll win on by handicap. There'll be a handicap match for the Women's Championship.
Or it'll be like, okay, but like they'll go back to like an old classic, like a crap classic, which is like one arm tied behind her back, or a bull rope match, which I hate. I hate bull rope matches. We have to touch all the four corners. Yeah, yeah. That's not a wrestling match.
I don't know.
It'll be something rubbish.
It'll be something rubbish.
Something rubbish. Unless Charlotte comes back. So I think maybe if Charlotte comes back, they can save this.
Yeah, maybe. I think I think the Iconics need to be used better.
Yeah, oh, big time.
This is why I was a little bit kind of disappointed by Ellsworth coming back. I think Ellsworth is funny and does have a position. He does have a place.
He does.
And with Carmella, it does work well.
People don't want to admit it. He does add something to the product.
He does add something, and he adds something to her as well.
Yes.
But I thought it would make more sense to have the Iconics helping out Carmella and being Carmella's like lackeys.
Get a stable going.
It would be natural because they're already a tag team.
And a good tag team.
And a good tag team work together. But they're also quite similar to Carmella in their kind of personalities and stuff. I felt like it would work well, those three together. And they did originally help Carmella win the SmackDown Women's Championship when they beat down Charlotte after WrestleMania. So I just thought they're a waste of opportunity because now we've got the Iconics just doing whatever they're doing. They're just there, and I just think it's such a waste because they are very good.
A video was put up. I think it was on WWE's Twitter. It's the video when they were told by Triple H that they were coming to the roster, and it echoes very closely to the Enzo and Cass video
a little bit,
where they're told they're going to the main roster and they are so happy, and then obviously the success they had after that.
Yeah,
obviously we can talk about the decline we've already talked about,
but sort of think that if they'd been men, they'd have won the tag team titles by now.
Yeah they would have. Yeah,
and so I wonder, I mean, they've got this big show happening in Australia towards the end of the year.
It's in the same vein as the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So they're doing an Australian
Melbourne
show.
I think, is it?
It's got a name. I can't actually
Sydney
remember what it's
or
called
Melbourne.
Right now.
And it's in a huge cricket ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's going to be like 70,000 people or whatever. It's going to be huge. And obviously, if it's going to be 7 p.m.
Didn't they
say Australia time? That'll be like probably in the morning over here, something like that.
When is it?
October, I think.
October. Okay, good. Because I was thinking, if they're going to try and do it this month or August, I don't think anyone's told WWE that that's their winter.
Yeah.
So having an outdoor stadium in the middle of winter in Australia is not great.
But I think October is their spring, really.
That's when it's getting hot for them.
And it's going to be all right. It's going to be like WrestleMania.
And to be fair, an Australian spring is like 30 degrees.
Yeah, probably.
But so they're probably fine.
Going back to the Iconics, though, I think the Iconics could do something. Surely they need to be doing something going into that. And that's
I would like them to be featured heavily on that.
Yeah. And I would love it if they just, I don't know, had a stable or something, or if they had women's tag team titles, they'd be perfect for it. And I just think that it's like...
We even talked about in a previous episode where they'd be the introduction. That team, the Iconics, would be the introduction of those titles.
Women's tag teams have always had a problem. Mm. The women's tag teams have always had a problem because only one of them can be the women's champion.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't have...
And they're all fighting over one belt.
And then you sort of think, well, why is one woman over the other being the one to get the championship? Like, it'd be a sort of thing like, why is Peyton Royce going for the NXT Women's Championship and not Billy Kay? Mm. And then sometimes Billy Kay and not the other. And then why would they be necessarily helping their friend? Because surely they want the title as well. And then one of them does have the title... then is the other one constantly going to be the lackey for the other? And then it's always a bit like the Bellas
turns,
had
then
it.
The thing is, then it turns into wrestler manager, not tag team.
So the Bellas had it. The only time they've managed to do it successfully was when they actually had the Divas title and the Women's Championship at the same time, and Lakel had both titles.
No, that was when they had...
Or did they have one and they split it in half?
They had one and split it in half, and then it turned into the Divas Championship.
Didn't they merge them? Didn't they unify them or something?
I can't remember.
Either way, they both had...
They had a very bad version of the title that was like... It was cut in half.
Badly cut in half, yeah. It was like they took a jigsaw and went...
It was like cartoon jagged.
Yes.
So it was like, oh, what, have they snapped it in half? Am I six?
Yeah. So, but they each had half of the belt, but then they were both the champion.
Mm.
And it was like, that's where it's worked all right, because they tried to fudge something together there to make it work. But for the most part, women's tag teams have always struggled. And as much as I like seeing a team like that, I sort of think, well, what's the point when you haven't got a title to go for and you're just going to be... helping the other win the singles championship.
Yeah, and in a situation where the WWE is really sort of mashing together these teams for the women's division.
Yeah,
but then these teams, like you say, have nothing to go for. Yeah, then why are they doing it?
What's the end goal here? Unless they do bring in women's tag team titles, which I think would be very good.
Create a new division within that division.
Yeah,
it's a great thing to do.
I said earlier on that we were going to move on, and so now we will move on because we've again deviated
really like
a
three matches
bit.
In. I think
we're not going to go through every match because some of the matches
we'll
aren't
just gloss over
some,
the rest
some
of them.
Things.
Yeah,
I've got a list of what's going on in this stuff, but I'll get to the end, and if I've missed anything that I think is important, we'll cover it.
We'll bring it up.
Yeah, we'll talk about the cage match. We'll talk about Braun and Kevin Owens.
It was solid.
It was a solid match.
Yeah, no.
I thought the only downside I've got to it is that when Braun was handcuffed, it felt like either he was handcuffed to the wrong ropes, because he could have where the rope he was connected to, he could have ran along that rope.
This is what I don't like about
that. And
got
to the other end. Yeah. So he needed to be on the opposite rope to the one that Kevin was climbing up.
Ah, see, I was like, Hank always... Even in, I know it's kayfabe, obviously. Handcuff him to the cage. Handcuff him to the turnbuckle, like the bit.
Oh, that bit, yeah.
The metal rod that holds it to the actual pole.
Yeah.
It's like, because if you do that, then you go, oh, he is actually stuck. Yeah. Like, he's legit stuck.
He can't go anywhere.
He's not just stood in the corner where you can clearly see the hoop is around the ring rope.
And it's the thing where this is Braun Strowman. So we all knew that the end result of him being handcuffed with some flimsy handcuffs was that he was going to tear his hand.
It's always handcuffs with an extra long chain as well.
Yeah, we also knew it was going to be him like just tearing his arm out of it, right?
Absolutely.
So it made it weird then he had like a good couple of minutes where he was like holding on to both sides of the bit that was connected to the rope and going, oh no, I can't get it off. Mm. Why won't it come off? Oh no, I'm stuck.
It even looks like he's trying to pick the lock with his fingers.
Yeah.
I thought, mate, you know, no.
Yeah. Just... But apart from that, I thought it was a good match. It was full of, the go home, let's say, of that match from the point in which he was handcuffed to the ropes.
Yeah.
It was like reference mania. It was like, right, we're going to have... Well, before that point, he got stunned by... Sorry, Braun got stunned by Kevin Owens.
Owens does the stunner. The commentators mentioned that he's doing a stunner.
Yeah.
In Glee. Yeah. Like, he's doing...
Oh, my God, it's the stunner.
Didn't call it the Stone Cold Stunner. Just called it the stunner, which obviously... It's only a Stone Cold Stunner when Stone Cold does it.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yeah.
So they do it. Yeah, he does a stunner. Then what was it next?
Right, so then he gets handcuffed. Then Kevin Owens climbs up the side of halfway up the cage.
Mm.
And before he does that, he does the crotch chop DX suck it.
He tells Braun to suck it.
To suck it.
Does the crotch chop.
Crotch chop. Then he starts climbing up the cage a bit and he looks back to Braun and does the CM Punk.
He blows
And then waving goodbye.
It's when CM Punk stole the championship.
Yeah, it was when he won the Money in the Bank and he kissed and blew a kiss to John Cena and did the little wave and then went. Kevin Owens did that.
Which we thought was weird. This may not be deliberate, but very coincidental.
Then he climbed to the top of the cage to try and get away from Braun, who just torn the handcuffs apart.
Mm.
He then climbs up. They were both on top of the cage and in a Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell style moment, he throws him off the top of the cage through the announce table, and it was incredible.
It was also very recently the anniversary of that happening.
I can't
remember. Like the 20-year anniversary of it.
Survivor Series that happened.
Yeah, I think it might have been the 15-year anniversary.
Was it 1997 or something?
Yeah, it was something like it was a milestone for that happening.
98, something like that.
It was 98. Yeah, it was King of the Ring 98.
To be 20 years or something.
Yeah, so that happened. Obviously, it was just a lot of references that I thought, oh, maybe that's it.
Because it was just like a weird thing. You picked up on it, and I hadn't picked up on it before you mentioned it. And then I watched it and went, oh, my God, he's done a stunner, a crotch chomp, the CM Punk blowing a kiss and wave. And then he got thrown off the top like Mankind. I was like...
Because initially,
Attitude Era in one match plus CM Punk.
I thought initially he was referencing, because the one thing I picked up on was the stunner. Because I thought maybe that's in reference to the Stone Cold McMahon match. Only because at St. Valentine's Day Massacre, only because you told me that he does obviously throw him off the cage at the end.
Yeah.
And there is a spot in the Stone Cold Vince match where he like slams his head against the cage. Vince falls off the cage, but lands awfully on the table. Like he lands spine first on the support.
Edge bit,
So he just bounces up and then through the table. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe it's that. But I think these were just general references that he thought he could get away with.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I thought the throw off the top of the cage was an incredible sight, and it was very well done. Braun was very good in being able to... He was incredible at balancing, because after he threw him off, and then he was just stood there on that edge bit of
that
cage.
Edge isn't wide.
And he wasn't holding on at one point. He was trying to do... He was doing the sort of get these hands chant thing, but quite lightly, rock himself off the top of it. Because I just thought, wouldn't it be awful? And I was watching him doing that, and I was like... Wouldn't it be an awful end to this match if he lost his balance and fell backwards into the ring? Like,
I think a man that size falling from that height would die.
Can you imagine? And he's just like falls straight back. That's like the ultimate botchomania.
If he fell, but also if it's a worked fall, he can obviously land safely. But if he just fell and tumbled, he'd probably die.
Yeah,
it's like. But yeah,
he'd break something anyway, wouldn't he?
He'd probably go through the ring.
Yeah.
You pointed out as well, like, yeah, I like that he was doing very light. Get these hands.
Get these hands. But get these hands.
Please let me let go of this and let me just get down. And then he starts climbing down.
I thought it was a great match. I thought it was one of the highlights of that,
it was
that
cool.
Show, was that moment. And just the kind of end part of that whole match. The whole match was good. It was great because it was to start with, obviously, Kevin was trying to escape, just trying to get out of there.
Mm.
And then he just thinks, do you know what? No, I'm going to fight him. And you go, yeah, I think he can. And then he starts fighting him. And obviously then he gets thrown around a bit. But he does get a lot of good kind of stuff
in. He's got some offense.
And you go, yeah, this is why Kevin Owens is good. Because he can go up against Braun Strowman and actually give him a competitive match, you know.
He
can still make Braun Strowman look terrified.
He can make Braun Strowman look strong and also make himself look legit.
Yeah.
He's got a chance
in that match. So I thought it was a very good match. I think in general, I think, you know, cage matches can sometimes be a bit like, you know, what's the point of the cage reference?
They can be a bit floppy.
It feels a little bit like they've put the cage in just to make it more interesting, but they don't really use it properly or whatever, right? But I felt like they really did use it properly, and he won the match by going over the top of the cage. Granted, he was thrown off the top of the cage,
landed
but Kevin Owens still won it by climbing up the cage and going off the other side.
I would argue as well that if Kevin Owens can win a cage match by being put through a table and staying on top of that table,
yeah,
then Roman Reigns won the cage match against Brock Lesnar at Greatest Royal Rumble. Just going to say.
Yeah, there's like, one other kind of thing where people said, well, actually, Roman Reigns' foot was actually still on the little bit of ring apron. Well, so
Kevin Owens' entire body was still on top of the table. He won.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know.
Just wanted to point out, you know, he obviously match. Just
talking
bring up,
of
just reopen that old wound.
Talking of Mr. Reigns,
yes, Mr. Reigns,
Mr. Reigns and Mr. Lashley.
Oh yeah,
were in a match which was not the main event. Yay,
Robert Lashley and Sir Roman Reigns.
Yes,
yeah, it wasn't the main event. Rightly so.
Yep.
It was, from what I can tell, solid.
Yeah,
it was all right. It was good, well put together, and then it was just kind of. Okay, I'm glad Roman Reigns didn't win.
It was a solid match. I think it was a solid match, the match itself. I think take Roman Reigns out. Well, I don't know, not Roman. No, if you just watch it with the view that Roman Reigns is the heel in this match and Bobby Lashley is the babyface, you could say Reigns did very well as a heel, got booed, got the right reaction.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley could have done better. Could have got a better reaction, but it wasn't completely silent. There was some cheering for him, and there was some big moments. And when he won the match, there was a big cheer. And I think
his momentum is slowing down.
But I think it was a solid match. I think Bobby Lashley showed what he can do.
Yeah,
a lot more physically in the ring, and I think people would like to see that. And so I would be happy with a Bobby Lashley Brock Lesnar match at SummerSlam. But
it's Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, and I know that the WWE are going to sell it like it's is Bobby Lashley the one to conquer the
real fighters,
and it's like, well, that's the thing. Like, I think they forget that Bobby Lashley has a really good MMA record.
Yeah,
a really good. He's really good at that.
Yeah,
so it's just one of those things that you can either sell it as, okay, who the hell is going to win this match? Which they won't. I know they won't. Yeah. They're going to sell it as Brock Lesnar is this immovable object.
Yeah.
Is Bobby Lashley the one to move it?
Yeah,
and it's. It's the, I don't know, I hope it's going to be,
I think it'll be a brutal
even,
match.
I hope it's sold as an even match.
I think it will be a pretty even and brutal match if the two of them go up against each other. I think
Bobby Lashley
will show off his more vicious side, I think, in a match with Brock Lesnar. Because I think Brock, because they were both out there doing MMA at the same time, but in different companies.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people for years had always said, oh, wouldn't it be interesting to see Bobby Lashley against Brock Lesnar inside the octagon, you know, and going, oh, let's just, I'd love to see that, and then literally legit beating the shit out of each other. Like,
what if
and I think them two getting in the ring together, I think Brock would, Lashley wouldn't start it. He's too nice of a guy, but Brock doesn't give a shit, and I think Brock would just be like, he thinks he's as good as me in MMA. Let's prove it, you know.
It's also it's a matchup that hasn't actually happened in MMA either. It's because I think Bobby Lashley
we should get a rage in a cage. Bobby Lashley, the name of it, the one where you know they had the cage when WWE tried to do MMA at one point.
Oh no, that was Owen. What was that?
Owen Hart and like Ken Steve Blatt and Dan Severin and people like that involved.
Ken Shamrock was part of it. Ken Shamrock had a match with Owen Hart once in the Hart Dungeon.
Yeah,
that was very similar. Where it was like catch wrestling.
But do you know, they had the cage thing that was kind of like they kind of have to climb down into it.
It was their version of the octagon. I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember, but that, I think it was Rage in a Cage. I want to say, but that might be the WCW version of Hell in a Cell. But
it was something. No, it had like an animal name. I think it was like the Lion's Den match.
That's it. It was something like the Lion's Den match. Yeah, something.
And
like that.
They had it was like a tiny octagon that was like to the side of the Titantron.
But they should do that for Brock.
Just do that. Put them in a tiny ring together.
Yeah,
it was like I was thinking though, if they match up at SummerSlam. If they just let them go stiff, maybe a little bit.
I think it would be stiff anyway.
I think they might just do it to prove each other.
I mean, Brock has done that to Roman, and if you think about that's in the perspective of, well, Roman is just a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
He is just a WWE superstar. He is not a legit athlete.
He's only ever been a WWE superstar in terms of wrestling.
He's not a legit fighter, let's say, in that respect, right? But Bobby thinks he is, according to Brock. Bobby thinks he's a legit athlete just like me. He's got nothing on me. He wants to see a fight, I'll give him a fight. I think that's the attitude he's going to take. And I think it could be quite brutal. So, interesting to see what happens there.
It's Strikeforce versus UFC.
Do you think Roman will be involved in a match with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam?
Because
that's what everyone says, and everyone for months will go on about, oh, well, that's what SummerSlam's going to be, but no one has actually ever confirmed that's going to be a match.
It seems like it's going that way because they keep building it in the very typical WWE way, which is, oh, not yet, oh, not yet. Like, yeah, but Roman's going to take the title off him, but it's not going to be yet. It's not going to be yet. It's not this moment yet, but there'll be this one match where it's like finally down the road where they've had about 9 matches against each other, and it's like, and finally Roman Reigns has taken the title off.
The only thing is...
And then no one cares.
The only match Roman has won on pay-per-view for like months is against Jinder Mahal at Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Actually, no. Did he win a Backlash? I mean, I erased that from my memory.
I can't even remember what happened at Backlash,
but,
honestly.
He's not... I mean, it's not exactly been... I mean, he lost to Lashley. I don't see how he could lose to Lashley clean.
And then beat Lesnar.
Go up against Lesnar one-on-one.
All I can think is it's got to be Lashley-Lesnar at SummerSlam.
I think the way that they're working it, it seems like it's going to be Lashley. Now, of course, you could be listening to this after Raw tonight and be like,
something's changed.
Well, everyone knows it's Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar.
Of course.
The WrestleMania rematch.
Of course it's the returning Ken Shamrock that's going to be taking on Brock Lesnar.
What are these guys talking about? Ken Shamrock was tweeting all the way through Extreme Rules last night.
Quite interesting.
I think Lashley Reigns last night was good.
Here you go. Do you want a ridiculous prediction for SummerSlam?
Yep.
Steve Blackman's going to come back.
That'd be amazing. He's going to bring the hardcore title with him.
Yeah, there you go. The most boring man in professional wrestling. he's going to come back and take on Lesnar.
With his sticks.
I honestly think they were called something like punji sticks. I don't know if that's the real name.
His karate sticks, whatever they are. Yeah.
Basically, his bamboo implements.
Yes. And he's going to hit him like round the knees.
He's going to do that thing where he does like a crisscross of them across the knee and they just go, ah! And that's
like those Japanese chefs that cook the food in front of you, like doing all the like cool.
Yeah.
Except with like bamboo sticks and your knees.
Like, Steve Blackman to do the weird thing where it's like, what does he go after? Oh, your Achilles tendon.
Yes.
But with these really irritating sticks.
He hits you in the back of your ankle.
And just like attacks the knees.
He jabs you in the side of your side of your abdomen.
Jab, 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 and then like scissor move. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Blackman's the best.
So that was that. We're going to move on now because we're running out of time a little bit.
Mm.
Quickly, and I say quickly because it was an all right match, but yeah, AJ Styles versus Rusev. Now, you gave me some very bold predictions.
Disappointed.
The week before or a few days before this.
Really disappointed.
To say, oh, it's going to be Rusev. Calling it now. It's going to be Rusev.
It
wasn't going to be Rusev.
I even tweeted you a photo of Rusev holding the belt.
Yes.
Like,
and I was like,
look at that.
I said, maybe. I mean, you never know. It could have happened. But my opinion was, nah, ain't going to happen. And I mean, I love Rusev, but it wasn't going to happen. You know,
I'm so gutted.
But I think they had a solid match. I don't think there was really anything wrong with the match. I thought Rusev really held his own and showed why he should be in matches like that.
And then AJ showed why he has...
Well, AJ showed why he's the champion.
AJ Styles. Yeah. He has a good match with anyone, and he showed that.
Well, AJ Styles showed why he's the champion, because he can be called on to deliver in any match with any person.
And
like, he had a match with Brock Lesnar, and I thought at one point, I think AJ's going to win.
When
they had a match at Survivor Series, it was brilliant.
A lot, like, obviously, people talk about Okada and they'll talk about Kenny Omega as being two of the best wrestlers alive, and they are definitely top two, if not top three. AJ's in there, though.
AJ's 100%.
AJ's not been forgotten about, though, obviously.
AJ's one of the best wrestlers in the world today.
He is by far the best wrestler WWE have on the roster.
I think a match everyone would love to see would be AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship.
Happily.
That'd be incredible. Can you imagine that match? Make it an
hour-long Iron Man match. I'll sit there and watch the whole thing.
Hopefully, people wouldn't do what they did last night, but we'll get to that. AJ Styles versus Rusev, though, I think it was a good match. Great. I think it sets off Rusev. I think it actually, in a way, maybe is putting the first seeds into the end of Rusev Day as a tag team. As a group, you know, well, I say as a group, but between him and Aiden, right? Because Aiden takes off the pad around one of the turnbuckles to help Rusev. Rusev doesn't know this necessarily, but then...
Or is unaware of these actions.
But then AJ's in that corner. Rusev goes to do like a big flying clothesline on him or something. And AJ moves out of the way, bashes his face into the thing. Mm. Aiden's like, oh no. Then there's a pin, 1, 2.5, kicks out. You're like, oh, is it going to be? No. And then AJ then goes on to win. And you're like, okay, cool. But it made Rusev look good. Rusev looked like he at some point legit could have won that match. And you go, ooh, they're tempting us. But like, I think it put him probably in good stead with management.
It was a great showing for Rusev. It's given him a high profile match too with their best competitor.
And the crowd were into it. There was an equal mixture of AJ Styles, Rusev Day chants.
It was a tough match to call, honestly. That's why I was making such bold predictions for it to be Rusev. Because really, I think deep down I thought, I don't know who's going to win that. Honestly, it could be AJ and I'd be happy with it. It could be Rusev. I'd be happy with it. And it was a standout match.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, amongst the sort of subpar event.
Yeah. And the main event, we'll go on to the main event, which
it had its
a
downs.
30-minute Iron Man match between Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. That sounds like every Mark's wet dream. I mean,
you're giving Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler half an hour.
Literally two of the best technical wrestlers in WWE today.
Yeah.
Possibly two of the, I'd say in the, definitely Seth, definitely in the top five, top 10 technical wrestlers in the world today. Like in terms of just everything, I say technical is probably the wrong word, but all rounder, like entertainer and technically proficient.
He's high flyer. He's risk taking. He's legitimately a heavyweight.
Yeah.
And he could be world champion tomorrow.
He can be the best babyface and be the best heel. Yeah. Like, he can do both. And he could be world champion anywhere in the world. And
he's got good mic work. Yeah. He's a huge asset.
He's one of the best all-rounders.
It's hard to
anywhere
find.
In the world, right? And so you've got him against Dolph, who is, you know, known for being one of the best sellers in the world. Yeah. You know, and also can put on a great match anyway.
One of the hardest workers.
Yeah, and he has an amateur wrestling background, so you know he's got that sort of technical ability in him as well. He shows that.
You know he's going to make you look good. Like, you're going to make him look great.
Yeah, the match, on paper, is perfect.
Yeah.
The match, if you watch it with sound off, is perfect, but it's like the empty arena match.
Oh yeah,
you can't watch a match without the crowd because the crowd does add something to the match, and
there's atmosphere, the commentary
adds something. Yeah, and the commentary adds something as well. So you want to watch it with the crowd noises.
Mm.
The problem is the Pittsburgh are assholes, and they
boom they bought entire city
of Pittsburgh. People of Pittsburgh bought tickets to go see Extreme Rules, but clearly had all been struck in the head before the show and thought they were going to watch the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
because
bizarre.
They saw a clock and went, "Well, that one goes down 10, down to 0 every minute. So I think we should cheer along and do what we do at the Royal Rumble, because that's what we do when we see clocks, isn't it?
We should count it
every
down.
Time I'm at work and I'm watching, there's a, you know, oh no, oh, I'm at home and I'm putting something in the microwave, when it gets down to 10 I'm going 10, 9 yeah, no, it's so bloody annoying.
Can I stop you right there? I have actually done that to a microwave a few times. You have to have. I've even gone
10, 9, 8 Your mum's going, what are you doing in there? Nothing. 3, 2, 1
I'm heating up my roast dinner, all right?
Sorry, I'm just, you know, I want to get my food and make it more entertaining.
But you're right, it was shambolic.
It was shambolically irritating.
It was just bad.
Like, it was ruining the match. It was ruining what was an incredibly good match.
They thought they were being funny. It was sort of the crowd taking it into their own hands to just be irritating.
So then Vince took down the clock from the screen.
Yeah.
After about 10 minutes.
Well, Gorilla in general. Gorilla Position took down the clock.
I would assume it was Vince making the call. Because
he sat in Gorilla.
Vince has been pissed off by the crowd in the past. There's been many occasions over the years where he's got pissed off at the crowd.
He's made comments in the ring about it.
He came out to the ring in Liverpool one time and came out just to yell at the crowd to tell them to behave themselves, and then went.
He didn't even come down to the ring. He just came down
to
the ramp.
Onto the stage.
Yeah, and then just had berated the crowd for like 10 minutes. And then that made things worse because, like, the crowd reaction from that was basically just
Vince.
We've just been told off by Vince.
Yeah.
Like, what the
fuck?
So
there's that kind of thing. So Vince takes down. I would assume it's Vince who would make the call to take it down from the screen. So the screen, they take the clock down. The crowd think there's something wrong with the clock.
Well, they start booing a little.
So they start booing and they start chanting "fix the clock," and then they just decide to start chanting.
They just start counting down randomly.
Start counting at any point. And then clearly there were people watching on the network, on their phone, in the arena, so they could see at what point the clock was at. Because then at a certain point, even when the clock wasn't on the screen, they were still chanting in time with the timer.
But obviously with with slight buffering delay or something, there'd be like a second off.
Well, there was ones that were like at 25 seconds left, and other ones they were doing it on time. Anyway, the point is, they were being really bloody annoying. And you want to watch the match. You want to get the atmosphere. You want people to be chanting, you know, let's go Seth, burn it down, or, whatever. It's like, it just...
They weren't clear. Clearly weren't watching the match. There was a point that I pointed out when you showed me the clip of them starting to chant that, and there's a guy in the front row just shakes his head.
He looks up at the clock and just goes, it just shakes his head.
Realizes they're all doing it, and then it's like, and then it's every minute of that match is, and it's loud.
But there's these two that you can see on the hard cam, who are like, you have the first set of people, first set of rows, and then you have the first raised bit of rows.
Yeah,
first raised bit of rows. Hard cam, these two, and they are pissing themselves laughing and yelling and cheering, a big smile on their faces for the 10-9-8-7 chant.
Nine,
and
like...
when it gets to the ear, they're like, yeah, isn't it great? Funny, ha ha ha. And you're like, mate, look in the ring. Seth Rollins is doing incredible moves. It was like, watch it.
Well, the thing is, like, that was it. Was I would have found it funny, I would have chuckled when I heard it the first time and gone, oh yeah, reference to Royal Rumble, funny, all right. It's like I said, it's every minute.
It's the fact every the
single minute, and they're still finding it as funny as they did the first
time.
It's
a 30-minute Iron Man match, and every minute they're doing it, and it's getting bigger chance every minute.
It's
and
getting
you're
louder
like,
and louder,
and it's and overtaking the match.
Seth
and you're going,
even noticed in mid-match, Seth looks out to the crowd and mumbles something to himself, and it's clearly that he's
just going,
"What the fuck's this?
What is doing?" Yeah, and he tweeted out today saying, "Just literally counting down 10 to 9, 1."
Yeah,
and it was just like, yeah. He heard, he knows what's going
that's
on. That's irritating because they got a 30-minute Iron Man match in the main event of a pay-per-view and they're the Intercontinental title. You know, when the WWE title was also on the card and Roman Reigns and Lashley was on the card and there was an Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules for the Women's Championship, that could have been in the main event. And they were the Intercontinental title in an Iron Man match and they got the main event. So he must have been incredibly happy to get that.
They would have worked so hard to work out that match. It's 30 solid minutes of wrestling. Yeah. No breaks, no stoppages.
Yeah.
They're like,
and there's the added element of Drew McIntyre, which added a lot to that match. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the crowd ruined it a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. And then what you were saying about, you were telling me about how they'd taken the clock off the screen. And obviously they then realized that they had to put it back on for timing reasons.
Yeah, because they needed to know where they were in the match to be able to time the match
what
properly.
What spots they were going to do next. Yeah. And obviously when to start that finishing segment. And I was like, yeah, it really forced their hand. They then had to like, okay, now we're sort of ruining the match in a sense. We're putting the wrestlers off. Because Seth stared at the screen for a good 30 seconds once during a hold and just went, okay, it's not coming back. All right. And then they had to try and work out where they were in the match.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for
them. I'd imagine they'd have had to have the referee giving them updates constantly, saying like,
Gorilla probably went in the ear of the referee. Like, we've taken the clock down. You're just going to have to keep them updated.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And it slowed the match. You could tell.
Yeah. You can tell in the section where the clock is not up on the screen that it slows down a bit the match.
Yeah,
now, it could be just because that was the middle bit of the Iron Man match and it was going to be slower anyway at that point.
It's probably the ref going, I'll try and figure out what's
but
going
they
on.
Don't
just
know
go into
where,
a hold.
They don't know where they are in the match kind of thing. And so the fans had an active effect on ruining part of that match. And turning that match, which could have been like a 5-star, this is a modern day classic kind of match, into... overshadowed, I don't want to watch that match again. And I would, it really annoys me because it was a really good match on paper and you watch it, ignore the crowd, you can watch it, and it is a very good match.
Yeah.
And it was very well put together and that crowd ruined it. And I now can't go back and watch that match again over and over again because I can't be like, I'm going to watch that match because it's going to irritate me far too much to watch
every single minute. 30 times during a match, there is a crowd of dickheads going, 10, 9. I was like, that's ruined it for me.
It's always, I have the same opinion on people who chant 10 for every count of a ring out count. You know, when someone's outside the ring,
they try and put the referee
and
off,
the referee's going,
funny.
1, 2, and everyone else is going, 10, 10. And you're like, there is an element where the the wrestlers need to be able to hear the referee going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 so that they know when it's like 8, 9 and then they just get in just before 10. They need to be able to do that. But if they don't know which one's 10 and whether they're at 7, 6, 4, or 8 or whatever, they need to be able to know that. And the crowd are chanting 10 because they like Ty Dillinger. Granted, fine. If it's a Ty Dillinger match,
totally get it.
But when it's just a normal match and they're chanting 10, I have the same issue with it. So yeah, the crowd tried to ruin that Iron Man match.
I know that crowds are saying that the product, like, they shouldn't cater to the product and the product should cater to them. Totally get that. But that product was catering to the fans. They gave us Rollins, Ziggler in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
In the main event.
You can't then go, oh, you know, because like, I think we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're the people that are going to go home and go, I don't really remember that. Paper. It was like, it was good, I think. It was all right. I think it wasn't that great. And you go, well, it's because you weren't watching it.
Yeah.
You weren't watching it because you were too busy trying to be funny. And essentially ruin the match for them. And like you said, when people continually chant 10 during the ref's 10 count. And it's like, they do forget that this isn't a shoot. This is a work. The wrestlers need to hear that count. The reason the ref shouts it is so they know, right, okay, we're up to 7. All right, I can hold this a little bit longer. I can draw this out. Then dive in the ring.
We're doing a 9.5 on this one.
Yeah. You wonder why New Japan has great matches. It's because the crowd will sit there and they will fucking watch it.
Yes.
And they will let the two wrestlers in the ring perform.
Yeah.
That crowd didn't let them do that.
No.
They got in the way. They distracted. They clearly irritated both wrestlers. I think Seth was more obvious than Ziggler that he was annoyed.
The only worry I've got is that I think this could end up being something that goes on. Hopefully other crowds think, no, that was annoying and we won't do that again.
Yeah, you're hoping it kind of goes over the edge and then they go, it's not fun
anymore. I'm worried because the beach ball happened and then it would seem like every pay-per-view there was someone with a bloody beach ball.
It seems like do you know what, since the beach ball incident, it's now been a continuous thing of, okay,
what's the next thing they're gonna do
now? The crowd have been really irritating about this. Okay, cool. Now the crowd are being irritating about this. Great. Okay, we can't even stop that now.
Yeah,
at least with a beach ball you can have a moment like Cesaro going out there and tearing it to bits.
Yeah,
and you go, cool, good.
That's the symbolic end to that.
Yeah, and Cesaro basically saying, have some respect for the wrestlers. And then unanimously after that, there was that kind of reaction as well, where they were like, maybe we should pay attention.
Because also Cesaro
is
one of the sort of Mark's boys. Do you know what I mean? It's like Cesaro is one of their guys.
So when he steps in and goes, this isn't okay.
If Roman Reigns had done that, they'd have been like, everyone's bringing a beach ball next week. Absolutely, and we're throwing it at Roman.
That's it.
Like, that's what it had been. But because it was Cesaro, they're like, oh no, it's one of the lads.
It's like do you know what? It's like when you've got a really cool teacher at school and everyone likes him, but then you're that one, you piss him off and you go, oh, I've stepped over the line.
Oh, I've stepped over the line.
No. I've ruined it for everyone.
So essentially, if Seth had gone up on, grabbed a microphone and gone, please stop chanting, that is really annoying, it's putting me off. Like, he's not going to do that.
No, or if he grabbed a microphone.
If he'd done that.
If he grabbed a microphone and just started shouting 10, 9, 8, I think that would stop him.
I don't know if it would. I think that would just empower them, to be honest, to a certain extent.
Just something. Because it's just...
When Cena mentions the beach ball and doesn't kind of condemn it, they think, oh, well, Cena says it's fine.
Do you know
so
what?
I'm going to do it.
He's probably really protective about what he can say, because I reckon if he says one thing, if he references a beach ball, that'll probably be 10 the next week.
No, I don't know. But anyway, so that match could have been better if it hadn't been for an annoying crowd.
Crowd ruined
it. If there was a more respectful crowd, that would have been an incredible match. And so overall, I think Extreme Rules was good. I think they did rush it because they wanted to make sure there was time. But in the end, they rushed those bits. And the whole pay-per-view was 3 hours, 40 minutes.
I know.
So you were actually 20 minutes down from where they were supposed to be. So I don't know. But
it seems like they kind of cut the matches too short. And then...
It's weird. The pay-per-views, a lot of the pay-per-views end up not being quite 4 hours. But every episode of Raw ends up being 10 minutes over.
Yeah, 3 hours. 3 hours, 15 sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, Sky, they allow for it. On Sky, you go onto the Sky guide and it gives it as 1 a.m. until 4:15.
Oh, it allows for
they
it,
actually put it in there because they know it's going to go over by 10, 15 minutes. And USA is the same, but
and it doesn't
SmackDown...
Because that used to piss people off because it used to ruin your recording.
Yeah, but SmackDown is perfect. SmackDown, they always make sure it's 2 hours. It's exactly 2 hours.
It's like, without ads, it's like 1:40.
I assume it's because they have something key on USA Network straight after SmackDown.
Well, now it's on Fox, isn't it?
Well, as of the end of next year.
Is it end of next year?
Yeah, it's not straight away. No, it's like October next year or something. So, anyway, yeah. So that was Extreme Rules.
The pay-per-view was okay, and then the crowd ruined it at the end.
Yeah.
That's kind of my sum up.
Next pay-per-view is SummerSlam. We did briefly talk about Brock Lesnar. So yeah, I think it's quite clear it's going to be Bobby or Roman or both. It could be a triple threat, but we'll see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, it does feel like at this point, if it was a triple threat, you'd be like, what has earned Roman this place? Mm. He's just lost to the other person in this match that isn't Lesnar.
Yeah. And so, then in the women's division, I think we'll have Ronda versus Alexa Bliss. Probably. Sorry, that was my smoke alarm clearly being tested. Yeah, so it's going to be Ronda versus Alexa Bliss, clearly,
because
it makes the most sense. SmackDown, Carmella could be a Oscar again. Maybe some other people will be involved.
Mm.
Who knows? I don't know. Seth versus Dolph rematch, 60-minute Iron Man match.
120 minutes.
Yeah.
A whole pay-per-view.
Yeah.
They're not doing a women's only pay-per-view. They're doing a Seth and Ziggler only pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you have to sit there for 4 hours and appreciate the wrestling.
4 hours of...
4 hours of grappling.
The match. And the end, at the end of the show, it's 21 all.
Yeah, it's a draw. And then Kenny Omega...
They're just lying on the floor and they both keep on getting double count outs.
And then Ken Shamrock debuts. Re-debuts.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with SummerSlam. I think closer to the time of SummerSlam, because SummerSlam is in mid to late August, isn't
mid
it?
Mid to late August.
I think
it's
19th of August, something like that. So
it's usually the third week of August.
Nearer the time, I think we might do a podcast around that one, because SummerSlam's a bit like WrestleMania in its way. It's SummerSlam of the, it's the WrestleMania of the summer.
Yeah.
So we might do one before and one after for that one, bit more. But we're generally keeping them once a month at this point. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CSWPod.
Mm-hmm.
And go to CSWrestlingPodcast.com to listen to all the other podcasts.
Yeah, boy.
And all the episodes.
Oh, and currently, this is very quick. Yeah. At the moment, the G1 Climax 28 is on at the moment in Japan. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of coverage for that on Twitter. It's so good.
At Ring Review.
Yeah, so if you're not watching the G1 Climax, please start watching it. It's really good. And if you haven't watched it already, watch the US special, the G1 special they did in the US in San Francisco. Because they do it in the Cow Palace.
Mm.
And it's a historical building.
It is.
Oh, there's a lot going on in wrestling at the moment, basically. New Japan's wearing me out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, it's like 40 degrees in here.
It is really, really hot in this room.
Yeah.
So at CSWPod on Twitter and Instagram, at Ring Review for Ben's stuff, for more New Japan stuff. Join us again next month for SummerSlam coverage and all the rest of it.
The big thing, obviously, go on the Instagram. There'll be previews for episodes and things like that.
Yeah, we'll be putting all sorts of stuff on there. Be cool. Give us a follow on that stuff. Cool.
Excellent.
All right, bye.
Bye. Let's open a window.